Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 164. No Ollie today because he is still on his vacation in Hawaii. He'll be back in a few days, and next week he'll be back on the show. But standing in, we have our very own, what is the 6th, 7th time repeat guest, Mr. Joe Klecker.
Yeah, losing count.
I think it's five, six or seven.
I feel like I said six this morning when I was just guessing. It's up there.
It's a lot.
Back again.
Quarterly episode.
Yeah, it's kind of quarterly.
It felt like it had been too long. So very happy to have Joe on the show today. We're just going to be catching up. But like it was a very exciting weekend, this past weekend of results. And so we do have a lot of catching up to do. And then at the end, I think we'll get a bit more into specifically the changes with Joe, with the move to the roads, which I'm part of that journey right now. So we can preview Houston and all that a little bit. But before we do get into it, our merch is still on sale and holiday shipping. You can still get your order in by the 16th, and with expedited shipping within the US, you can still get it. And sometimes it's actually not that expensive. So check that out. And thank you so much to everyone who has bought the stuff so far. We do appreciate it a lot. And also another final shout out for Artican. They're still also selling the OAC bracelets. Did you see that Yared wears all three?
Yeah.
I respect that a lot. I didn't realize
from every
that.
Year of
every OAC year,
your yeah. 10, he's gonna just have him like all the way up his arm.
I was like, I respect that a lot. That's
Artican, cool. Great stocking stuffer. Coffee yeah. Club beanie, Coffee Club hat, great yeah. Stocking stuffers.
It's some good stuff in there. So. I think everyone would appreciate to get. So yeah, and one thing that we did just want to cover in the opening before we get into the meat of this episode. Last week, a couple of people, rightly so, I'd say, caught us out in the comments for when we discussed the World Athletics Awards. Somehow it slipped our minds. Well, we know how it slipped our minds because we were focused on the men a lot. As per usual, we were talking about the fact that if any male had gotten 2 gold medals, then surely they would have won. And we didn't even mention the potential controversy with Sydney McLaughlin winning and the fact that Beatrice Chebet got overlooked, and she had one of the most historic years of all time for a distance runner on the track, you know, winning the 5K, 10K double at the Olympics, as well as breaking the 10K record, running 28:54, I think is what she ran. So apologies to not mentioning that, because that is very significant, and we definitely
sounds worthy.
That's an argument to be had.
Yeah.
Sydney McLaughlin, like
world record in the
but it's almost
final.
It's almost similar to kind of what like you were saying, like it was so hard for Mondo to win the overall one because all he does is, you know, pole vault. Mm-hmm. But I guess Sydney McLaughlin did also have some really impressive like other performances than 200 and the 400. But yeah, the criteria is
Mondo also does the 100.
Yeah, he should have got it for that. But
was Sydney on the 4x4?
Oh, surely that she one, was. She probably, I feel she, like it was an all-star.
Been, yeah.
It was the all-star 4x4, but they probably don't count. I mean, they probably do, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I forgot that Gabby Thomas was on. Wasn't she on both relays or something?
She won 3 golds.
I watched Sprint, the new season of it, and she was like talking about how she got 3 gold medals. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then she showed up and she had 3 gold medals, and I was like, oh, the relays, of course.
Yeah.
It's kind of a cheat code if you're part of the US and you're at that level, but yeah. good for her. But yeah, honestly, Beatrice Chebet, like kind of a snub there. I can understand why Sydney McLaughlin got it. Breaking the world record in the Olympic final, I think is always going to be one of the most legendary things that you can ever do in our sport. But yeah, it was, it just resulted in the fact that she didn't get one mention, because if Sydney was going to win the overall athlete, then she also had to win the like track athlete. So mm-hmm. It's kind of a shame that. But onto the action from this past weekend, I think we're going to start off with the Eurocross, which took place in Antalya in Turkey. And it was really
looked
exciting.
Muddy.
It was, as always, a very hard cross-country course. They do them, I think most of their courses are like pretty much purpose built, and they purposely put this mud in. Did either of you guys watch any of the clips from any of the races or anything?
I just saw some of the photos of the mud and looked at the results and kind of the names you'd expect are up top.
Yeah, it was some stacked races across the board. I'm very jealous that like the Europeans get to go and compete in this thing, like, and it's every single year as well. I woke up on Sunday morning to watch Cinta race, and it was very exciting. The Italians got it done, I think, for the second time. They won the mixed relay title, taking the W over France and the UK. Cinta ran a pretty good leg. I mean, a really good leg. She was like the third leg, handed off to Pietro Arese. And then it was a pretty sick race because it was like all three top teams were still in it with 400 to go. And it was a big kick down. So that was cool. And then Jakob just looking amazing as per usual, taking down like these amazing 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathoners. He looks so smooth. I don't know how, but he looks so smooth on the grass and the mud. So it was very exciting to watch that. And then,
because he ran through it first before it,
before
muddy.
It got worse. Yeah. That actually makes
sense. Yeah, everyone behind him had to go through the all roughed up mud.
Yeah.
In front of Kripper, and who was third?
Tiati.
Yeah.
And then, Andreas? Fourth was Camelli. Isaac Camelli,
oh, yeah.
Belgium.
And then Almgren.
Yeah, and then Almgren.
Yeah. So it's a bunch of 26 stacked.
Yeah,
something, guys.
That top five is really good.
Stacked on the men's side. The women's side, kind of a big comeback race for Coco. Mm-hmm. She got second. Nadia got the dub, which I think wasn't that surprising considering she medaled in the Olympics.
Was the Norwegian Gravdal,
okay,
was she in there?
Yeah.
I didn't see
Caroline
she...
Gravdal, right? I heard that she was supposed to be more of a factor.
Yeah, I didn't actually see her in the results or anything, so I'm not sure what happened because I think she was defending winning a few times in a row.
Yeah.
So I think she was the other big name, but yeah, I didn't even see her in the...
Maybe she didn't run because, you'd expect her to be for sure competing up there.
You never know. But, sick talent at Europeans. And
Jakob must be in good shape.
Yeah.
Was his next race world record attempt? That's the rumor.
Is it really?
What event?
Indoor 5K or something.
What is that record? Like,
it's actually
12:28?
It's
not that crazy.
I don't think it's
12:50.
Yeah, right under. 12:47, 12:48.
Really?
You and Woody were close to it. Yeah. You guys were actually close to it.
Woody's 12:51 is like, I think it's top 10 all time.
Wow.
It definitely is.
Yeah. I guess not that.
Do you know where he's going to go for it?
I think in the US.
Boston?
I think so. Wait, really?
Valentine?
Jakob is going to race at BU?
No, not BU. New Balance, Boston.
Oh, I don't know about that track.
Some people say it's not super fast.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Probably doesn't matter for him.
But he looks like he's in pretty good shape. So,
dude, BU would be so sick if it was just like he's just like, with the 10,000 college kids, and then his heat rolls up. Dude. And
can you imagine how?
And when Kajalcha was attempting world records at BU,
yeah.
Wait, not even attempting. That is still a world
record. And Gillen Rupp's year of
and Cheserek.
Cheserek.
Those are all legendary videos.
The Ches race was crazy. Like, it was all set up for he was the only finisher, right?
Yeah, I think he was.
Wasn't, well, because he did it at the college level, and then I think did Ches also try to do it as a pro? Because do you remember?
He ran 3:49 as a pro somewhere.
Wow. Johnny G ran really fast.
3:49.
Behind Cheserek, I think.
Yeah.
I think he was behind Ches.
I just remember the race had so many pacers.
I feel like that was the Kajocha race.
That was Yarmouth. I might be.
Johnny ran 3:49.
Okay.
It's still too long ago now.
Yeah.
Jingi at BU. That'd be so funny.
Man, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
He could run. I don't even want to know what he could run at BU.
Break 12:30. Like, how could you not? Like, that guy.
Imagine if he actually did that. I mean, the thing is,
it's so much
could.
Faster than, like, outdoor.
Yeah.
It's just so much more reliable than outdoor.
Yeah, reliable.
That's, like, the main one.
Yeah.
I feel like you don't need a pacemaker. Like, obviously, good
pacemaking really
helps,
like,
a lot, but...
Well, apparently the track has, like, the track and New Balance has wave lights. It's also...
Really?
Yeah.
I always tell people, the fitness I was in when I ran 12:55 outdoor, if I put that on BU, like, I was so much fitter than when I ran 12:54 indoor.
Yeah.
It wasn't even close.
Makes sense. Yeah. It's hard to comprehend that, but... Yeah, I mean, we saw it just this past weekend. I think you're always shocked by the results at BU, but yeah, it really just is amazing setup, amazing environment, and it's just the reality is it's just harder to run outdoors than it is there.
Yeah,
outdoors
because of the variables.
Yeah, all these variables.
Yeah,
it's a lot more difficult. So, wow, I do hope that we get to see Jakub over for a US indoor season. I don't think, has he ever done US indoors before? I remember that 1 year Philip showed up to Melrose.
Philip to Melrose, yeah. That was cool.
That was 2019?
I was in that race.
Yeah.
I was in the 3K. I remember seeing him at the hotel.
What was it?
Gerd.
I think it was right before COVID. I think it was 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So cool.
Wonder what Melrose, surely they like send a message to Jakub every year. Like, all right.
Yeah. Well, 1 year at Fifth Ave, I remember there was an Ingebrigtsen bib at Fifth Ave.
Really?
Yeah. But obviously didn't
they
run.
Went there.
Yeah, no, he didn't run, but it was funny just seeing it.
Just in case they had one ready to go.
Yeah.
If he was gonna turn off late. Fair enough.
Surely he will do a big indoor season after not getting any indoors last year.
What's his normal indoor season? It's normally just like two
leaving.
Races.
Always leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Worlds or Europeans.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if he'll try to do the double this year.
European indoor?
Yeah, because this year, I don't think this normally happens. I could be wrong. But Europeans and Worlds is both on 2 weeks apart.
And then Worlds outdoor is so much later. It's like, you might as well.
You can send it in indoors this year
if
you want to. But it is going to be tough travel, I think, but I guess it's doable.
Is it World Indoors in China?
China.
Mm. Yeah.
So that'll be interesting who shows up to that one. That's a little more difficult of a trip compared to, was it Edinburgh?
Glasgow.
Sorry.
Yeah. We'll see. And I guess we'll just briefly, we're not going to go into too much depth. We'll let Ollie give a big recap next week about his whole Hawaii trip. But the Mary Mile was on Saturday morning, and it was, as per usual, an exciting race.
I wanted the did you see the coverage? Like the drone footage?
It was great.
It's actually really sick.
I was split on it because I couldn't, I liked some of it, but then also at times I found it really hard to be able to comprehend the difference between the women and the, like, they didn't have a good camera angle oftentimes that showed both of them.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really tell if they were catching them or not.
I was more just like admiring like the scenery. Like the landscape shots of like the waves and that just look like a freaking beautiful morning.
It's just cool for like a road mile, you know, to put that level of effort into having a stream that's not just like an iPhone footage on the back of a like lead vehicle. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Definitely wasn't perfect, but I thought it was pretty sweet. And it just, they made it look really cool.
Yeah.
So many people out there.
And everyone was very hyped for Nikki to get the dub over a very fast finishing Hobbs. That's kind of like the, what I would have liked captured really well was, like, there was kind of the moment where you're like, is he going to catch him? And then you're like, oh, shit, Hobbs has to run through this whole pack of, like,
four. He had to go around four athletes in a row, like, side by side.
Yeah.
He had to go so wide.
Well, it's hard because I think, at least how it was when I was there with Sage, the prize money is not, like, men's and women's. It's just...
Yeah,
I think when I was there, only men got prize money.
I think almost every year.
Yeah,
that's how it happens.
Which, like, a lot of people are going there because it's like a nice vacation and stuff. But still, it's like,
dude, it's legit money. $7,500.
Is that how much?
That's how much it was this year.
Well, it's good to see that it's actually like they got the stagger right.
Well,
and it was,
what was it, 32 seconds?
32. But this is the first year the woman had a pacer.
What was it last year?
I didn't like that either.
That's normally been the issue.
Both of them had paces.
The men always
Yeah, Abe Alvarado.
Yeah, they both did. But because the women normally just don't go out hard enough for the men catch them because the men have like get to chase them the whole way.
What was the stagger last year when you ran?
30.
I honestly can't remember.
I think it was an extra 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
2 seconds?
Yeah, I think they added 2 seconds on. Yeah. I didn't like, when I saw the paces lined up, I just felt like that takes away from the spirit of a road mile a little bit.
I didn't like that either.
Yeah, especially in this type of race where it's like...
Yeah, like that's what the race is. Like,
you got to close that gap or you got to hold off
the
chasers.
And the times with like those paces, but the times were still not that crazy, I think.
Yard would have run a bit fast. Yards is way faster.
I think the women's record is on that course, I think, is 4:23, like something pretty quick. And I think this year, the time was 4:28 or something.
I think it was 4:28.
So it's still they didn't like break the record, or even though there was a pacer, it was still, I think, a time that they would normally pretty close to what they would normally expect, especially. Because this year the women's field was just so stacked.
Yeah.
Really? With a it bunch was, of like 355.
Yeah, it was crazy how good it was. So, but yeah, they were very hyped that finally, like, it was not just like, yeah, all men on the podium. So it was cool. It did make for a very exciting race overall. And I think the only national record was Jack Ansey. Breaking his own record.
His own Australian record.
Yeah. Probably has a nice bonus for that.
So yeah.
Good for him. Get some money from that. Nice little trip. And now, is he on to race the New Zealand one as well? I don't remember if you mentioned him.
Don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, a bunch of them are now going from Hawaii to New Zealand, which is probably still not
just
that close,
really.
The vacation
tour.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, I don't know. At least Neil has been announced. I thought Vince was also going.
Sophie.
I'm pretty sure Haas is... Oh, yeah, Sophie Sullivan, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Haas is going down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lucky.
The amount of people Haas takes to Hawaii, that's a great tradition. Just team tradition. You go to Hawaii every December. Yeah.
It's great, like, if you're racing and you're not having to train a ton. I think that it's hard because...
I mean, the amount you guys are training at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, doing that in
when
Hawaii.
When I went with Sage, I was running like 110 miles that week around this grass loop. And it was fun, like, being in Hawaii, but...
Oh, the running.
Sage
so
asked me to go. Like, she was going to run the mile this year, and she decided not to. But she asked me to go, and I was just like, I can't. Like,
that the good thing about last year was that they redid the hotel gym, so they had really nice treadmills.
Okay. Our hotel gym, we had to walk to a neighboring hotel.
Because they were fixing it up. So then it was done. Yeah. I ran on that. I ran on the treadmill so much.
I literally had that thought. Because, like, when we weren't sure exactly when Ollie was getting back, and then... When I found out he's getting back on Wednesday, I'm like, wait, so he has to do his long run in Hawaii?
Yeah. long run you could, like, maybe do on, like, sidewalks and stuff up around, like, what is the big volcano thing? It's not a huge loop, but...
The loop, I mean, from the hotel around it was, like, 5 or 6 miles.
Yeah.
I did 10 mile, like a Monday run before I left, and I just ran on, like, the highway.
Yeah.
Which, like, had some sick views, but was just on the shoulder of a very busy road.
Yeah, it was funny when I was there, like, Centro was there as well. And, like, I felt like I was just crazy. You're doing, like, 12 miles on the treadmill and then, like, you know, night runs on the treadmill. And, it, like, to him, it just was like, oh, yeah.
This is normal.
It's normal. Like, just shows, like, how much, I don't know.
That's how they do it.
That's just how they do it, you know?
But where, do you guys know where Bauman stayed when they went there pre-Olympics and before Tokyo?
They were in... Honolulu, I think.
So they're in the same place.
Yeah. Did they go to the army base?
No, they were at like a private high school or something. The army base was sick. Emily Lapari was able to get Sage and I onto this army base track, and there were some sweet trails, great place to work out, which made it like actually pretty good to train. But you can't just like go on it. You have to be with someone who has access.
Makes sense.
I wonder if anyone will do Hawaii this year before Tokyo again. Like, I mean, that's how they did it last year.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I don't think we're doing that.
Colorado to Tokyo.
The weather would be perfect. It's just the running there is just not quite good enough.
Yeah. It seems like if you're going to go, you may as well go the whole way too.
Yeah.
Because like, it's still not, like, it's close to time zone, but if you're going to go for time zone, you may as well just go the whole way.
Yeah. And isn't it still like an 8-hour flight?
It's got to be pretty far still.
To Japan, or at least Australia, I think it's still like 8 or 9.
It's still far, for sure. I would be pumped if we somehow had a good setup to do a training camp in Japan somewhere before Tokyo.
I feel like I've heard that rumor.
There's got to be amazing spots.
Yeah.
Right? We go to that lake that all the Ikeden teams go to.
Yeah.
There's like some altitude. Well, maybe it won't be hot enough up there though. Mm. Who knows? True. But the New Zealand mile is this weekend. That they are going down for. So hopefully there's also good footage of that.
What's the name of it again?
Sunday, I think. Sunday night. It's called The Spectacle.
The Spectacle. Yeah, that'll be a good one. And you just mentioned that, I don't know, if that was before the pod, right? That Stewie's racing it as well.
Yeah, Stewie got announced.
Yeah, so good field.
That'd be cool.
Tanner is definitely running, I'm sure. He wouldn't miss that.
Is he just been in New Zealand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm surprised he doesn't do the Hawaii mile, actually.
Yeah.
He seems like the kind of guy.
He's really quieted down. Like, he used to do everything. I guess he got injured, didn't he? Maybe since that he doesn't do quite as much traveling and racing.
Had a bunch of Achilles problems this year. Yeah. Pre/post-Olympics. But he seems healthy now.
Might be it. But on to the first weekend of BU action, I think. Everyone knew that it was going to be crazy. as it has become in these last few years. But I don't think many people expected it to be quite this crazy. I know I didn't. I was on my computer just diddly-daddling around, just hanging out. And then I just check the results and I just see they ran 7:30. And I just close and I go, oh, okay, that's cool. Just feel like, fuck, I got to go train now or something. Yeah. So it was, yeah, just absolutely wild once again. Starting off with, I think, the men's 3K, because for us, that's the one that hits the closest to home. We had the UNC boys, Ethan Strand getting the dub over Parker, both running 7:30, and then Yassine 7:34, Gary Martin 7:36, all under the old collegiate record. Shout out to Adam Spencer, 7:40, breaking what was previously my Wisconsin record in the indoor 3K. But yeah, just college kids running 7:30. How does that make you feel?
7:30.1?
Yeah. 7:29 just would have hit.
Like. Yeah. Do you imagine if college kid ran 7? That's is that better than 12:59?
Yeah.
It seemed better than Blanks's just because we expected it out of him more. But is it actually harder?
I think if you look at the number of people.
I think 7:30 and 13 flat are actually pretty similar though.
Okay.
I like just in terms of.
I don't know. When Yard ran 7, what, 27? 28. Was that the same race that. Same weekend around 12:54, that just seems so much crazier.
You think so? I don't think many people try to run under 7:30 as try to break 13.
True.
So I think that's kind of part of it as well.
Yeah.
The world record, well, like now Yaku's world record is ridiculous, but
yeah, that changes.
Like 12:35, that's 25 seconds faster in 30 minutes. 17, whatever that, 13 seconds under 8. Under 7:30,
yeah, probably is pretty similar.
Then you do the conversion, yeah, for distance. Like the distance. It is kind of similar,
maybe. Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think you're right. When more people go to BU, I think to like run fast 5Ks.
Yeah, to break 13. But yeah, I mean, credit to.
I don't think I knew who Ethan Strand was until like USA's this last year.
Really,
I didn't know who he was till this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't
like he made the final in the 1500. Which I feel like that was like the first time I was like, oh, there's some good UNC kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's just
I just heard that
incredible.
Didn't they get NILs? It was like, yeah, it was like Parker and the other UNC kid, but now he's 7:30.
No,
I mean, that's like not a diss. That's like
no, that's like just shows how crazy the NCAA is.
Yeah. And then, I mean, he did get 11th or whatever it was in something around that in cross. So clearly he was fit. And then, I don't know. Doesn't it make you, it kind of like makes you realize how good cross country strength is, you know, like, cause now they're going to go on and they're going to train more track specific, but like, it's not like they're going to get, it's not like they're going to get that much faster.
I feel like we say this every year. Yeah, like, no. People run so good off like full fitness.
I think though, the one thing that they will change by NCAAs in their fitness is the ability to like close in 55, like
which they are, but they
close in 54.
Ethan and that, yeah. But I'm thinking about Graham closing like 60. I mean, he's on such a fast pace, but no, I mean, yeah, it is crazy.
They get like, sharper,
yeah, they get a little sharper, but yeah, they're not going to get like
the faster. Difference is not running 12:59; it's running 13:20 with a
2:26 last K or something.
Yeah, so maybe you're actually less fit, but you're slightly faster.
Yeah, but the 3K is crazy off cross, like 5K cross country. It's very in line, but the 3K, like 7:30, you think, okay, to run 7:30, I need to be training like a miler.
Well, but that was the thing. I listened to the post-race interview and they did one track session, I think, in between like cross and the race. And I don't even know if in that track session they touched a 60-second 400. Maybe they did a little bit. But at most, they did one session that included race pace work.
Yeah.
So just...
Is that?
That's, I think, yeah.
It just shows more and more that I don't think you need to replicate, like, you don't need to think, like, okay, this is like a race workout. We're going to simulate the race in a workout. It just, no one does that. You don't you don't need to do it. Like,
no.
This weekend showed.
I think so. I think so, indeed. And I wonder if Ethan will do it. He said maybe. But Parker, for sure, is going to try to run a quick 5K as well. Because he's going to be going for the 3K, 5K double and... It just makes sense that in January or he'll be in like probably the quick a race with actual other pros.
Yeah,
being it's a little more deep.
Just go back up to BU.
He'll go to break 13 as well.
I mean, I think that's why Milt said he ran the 3K instead of the 5, which maybe people would have expected him to run the 5 with Graham, was that he'd missed some training before cross.
Wow, that's even crazier to think. Like, I remember that going into cross, he was injured a little bit.
I think he missed 3 weeks
cross, because do you remember how the season played out? He won. He kind of dominated the first meet at Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and then I think it was after that he got
it. Was yeah.
So that's not that long ago.
No, not it was. He missed like supposedly 3 weeks or something leading up to NCAA. So maybe he wasn't ready to do a 5.
It's just crazy. These guys
he'd definitely do one. And
wow.
Yeah. And that apparently is now the world standard. I only know that because of
flat.
Strand's quote.
That's sweet. Run, I wonder, they won't try and run world indoors, will they?
No, I think that's impossible.
unless they just go pro like Graham.
Yeah. Speaking of, so Graham, epic race. It was a big, he had some really good pace making. So shout out to the paces. It was... Well, Anthony was one. I can't remember who the first one was, but it was a very big effort from him to get under 13. He had to work very hard in the last couple of K, got it done 12:59, which was pretty awesome to see. But then just today, the news broke that he's still in school for one more semester, but he's foregoing his eligibility to go pro with New Balance, which I was really surprised about it. And now that I've like reflected on it a little bit, I'm like, kind of makes sense, and I think it's a smart decision for him, but at the same time I'm a bit bummed out, because it would have been good to see how he would tackle these upcoming NCAA races, just his skill set matched
Parker
up against these
Ethan
other guys
and all this other yeah
so yeah
yeah I think we financially it seems like a good decision. Well, I mean, it's obviously the New Balance thing seemed wrapped up either way, but it seems like he's just at a peak right now. Two-time NCAA cross champ, and now a 12:59. Like, he can only really lose value just by losing to Parker or someone else. How many good people there are.
Not even just financially. Like, he made the Olympics. He's done back-to-back cross is just unbelievable. Like, what would he gain from doing?
And now maybe NCAA? He can focus more on actual worlds.
Yeah, world indoors or the 10K or, you know, not. Yeah, winning another title is great right now. But like, he could potentially, he's in a fitness right now to do things that are going to be like meaningful for the rest of his career. Like, look at, you go to World Indoors and say you do something crazy. You're going to remember that forever. Like, he has all these titles in NCAA. Like,
well, my opposite viewpoint was that, and like, I don't disagree with you. Like, if I was in his position, I'd probably do it as well. But I was like, well, he's going to be like, he's going to have a lot of years as a pro. Mm-hmm. But he would only have one more semester as a college kid, and he hasn't won any track titles yet. And he has a lot of pride, like wearing his Harvard vest. So I almost was like, I could have seen him being the type of guy that was more along the lines of like, I want to bring some more titles to Harvard and all that. And like, I want to prove myself. Cause the reality is you look at him right now and you're asking the question, how is he going to beat Parker?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is he going to beat all like these other guys? Like, how is he going to beat them? See, I could see him being the type of guy who's like, he's aware of those questions. Is like, no, I'm going to like find a way to do it.
Yeah.
So, all right, third option, New Balance are the bad guys. And they they've actually come along and said,
had an NIL too.
I know, but they don't wear anything New Balance. Like Harvard jersey and Nike spikes.
Yeah, you know, I see where you're going
so
with this.
So maybe,
one.
I'm just hypothesizing. New Balance coming and said, we'll give you a little extra if you go pro now, and then every race from now on, you'll be in New Balance.
Yeah.
I.e. the 10, which is...
Yeah, maybe he negotiated like, hey, I want to go for the NCAA record in a Harvard kit one more time in the 5K, which he was close to getting. Maybe that could have...
Yeah. But I do think that he did say this in his interview. He wants to be a 5K, 10K runner. And the reality of being a 10K runner right now in this current day and age is you essentially have to line up at the 10 in March and... Like with the college schedule, you can do it. Like a couple of kids did it last year, but it's not ideal, especially with how big hard the competition now. It's not really what you want. So if you do want to be a 5K, 10K runner peaking in September, you want your schedule to be selective.
Yeah,
that standard stayed the same, right?
Yeah, 27 flat. So yeah, if he's like eyeing that, it's just like you have to be. Everything has to be going very well to go do that. Like, it's not like a 5K. You can just go after it another week or something. The 10K, it's kind of sound running. Other than that, very rare.
Is Parker and Strand, are they juniors or it's
both like seniors at least indoors? Yeah, seniors. I actually think they might. This might be the last one.
Okay, so wow, this is going to be a crazy class. This is a crazy class.
Yeah,
yeah.
On the men's side,
wait, 10Ks. Is that a Pec 10K? Is that coming up?
Also, is that like this weekend?
Yeah, it must be actually.
Is it?
Forgot about that.
I wonder if it's like fast this year.
It's an on event, right?
Yeah, on track nights. Well, I'm not sure if they call it that anymore, but I believe it is still an on event. It looks like I have seen some cool stuff around it, like with the OEC, Oceania are obviously all showing up and going to be racing there. But it's just hard to get. Like when growing up, it was always a really big race. As an Aussie athlete or probably as a Kiwi as well, to like
wasn't it always watch. A big junior 3K?
It was a big junior 3K. Did you ever? You didn't race it?
I just knew about
it. I got my butt kicked in it like twice. Like I never ran well there. But yeah, it was cool because it was always big, like on both men's and women's. Like under 20 was the 3K. Yeah, like the best junior race of the year apart from nationals. And then yeah, it was the 10Ks. And it was just really hard for, like, it would always be the top Australians, and then they would normally bring over a couple of Kenyans. That would make it a good race, and like they would be able to run really fast. There were some years where I think Galen Rupp went down one year. Wow. I think Jerry's guys went down one year, maybe Legat. But yeah, generally, like it's just tough to get people to go. Like it's the start of December.
Yeah,
trip to Australia. It's tough. So, I think this year it'll probably just be like,
and it's the summer down there. Like, is it hot? It's hot.
It's hot.
So like a 10K.
I mean, the race is late at night.
Yeah, really late.
Yeah, but it can be hot. It's in Melbourne, which isn't quite as hot as some other parts, or most other parts, I guess, of Australia. But yeah, I messaged Kai. So Kai went back to Australia a couple of days ago, and I messaged him, how is he going? And he just said, I'm overheating. Because it's been like 40 degrees Celsius. It's been like really hot, like in Sydney at least.
Jesus.
I'm almost saying. So yeah. But there has been some crazy, on a bit of a side note, some crazy results, because I think it must have been All Schools just happened, which is like one of our national championships for the juniors. And did you see
Gal Gal?
Dude. Which apparently is not how you say his name, or not what his name is. Apparently, like, I need to learn more about this, but when they came over from, I don't know if it was Sudan.
Sudan, I'm pretty sure.
I think there was like a translation error. So it's like, it's not actually what his name is, but it's, I need to get that right eventually. But he just had pulled off the craziest double ever. He's still 16. He's only 16 years old. And he just ran 10.04 with 3.4, I think it was, wind. So that one doesn't count. But then he also ran 20.04, which is the Oceania record.
Yeah.
He's 16. He has like the record.
Wow.
That was the oldest Australian record in the books.
Peter Norman.
It was like 50 something years old.
Mexico City. I'm pretty sure. What was that, like 68 or something?
Yeah, sounds right.
Where was he? Why am I just hearing about him?
Well, he's so young. Yeah. He's only 16.
I definitely remember hearing his name last season. Well, okay. He was doing something last season.
He's kind of like, you might have seen him in the last year, because like the videos of him running are just like, they go viral, because he's fifth, like last year he was 15. And his style is like, he looks like Usain Bolt. Like, yeah, he just,
it's
like,
great to watch.
Just yeah, flying.
Just flying. And so these videos like blow up. So last year he started getting like popular. And yeah, I still didn't like realize how good he was, I would say. And now.
Yeah, at 16 to do that is just nuts. Yeah.
And he's just.
Yeah. That's the Tokyo standard too. I had to look that up.
Is it really?
What is this?
It's like 20.15 or something. Sheesh. So 20.0 is.
So he'll make the Australian team then.
Yeah.
No one else must be running that fast, right?
No, I mean, he broke the record, and he's already, I mean, he'll be one of the biggest stars like on the Australian team come Tokyo, I'm sure.
Yeah.
If he just continues to do what
continues
he's doing.
Continues blowing up, yeah.
Like he's, and because especially when you're that young and you're doing stuff at that level, and the Olympics isn't for another like 4 years, everyone's like, we'll be hyping him up for the next 4 years until the Olympics. Like he's going
to,
I think he's already a household name pretty much in Australia. Mm-hmm. I think he's that famous with what he's doing.
Is there a world indoor 200? Or do they just go 60 and 400? Why am I?
I don't think so.
NCAAs has an indoor 200 for sure.
But
I don't know.
Such a good question.
I don't know why I can't think of that right now. Something tells me there's not. But I was trying to imagine him on an indoor track.
It might be like unsafe to have like that much speed going around.
Maybe that's why they don't.
But then even like the 400, you dude, watch it, and like, crazy. This doesn't look safe.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, they have to cut in as well in that. Like,
that's crazy.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a good question, though. We'll have to get our listeners to let us know.
Yeah, that's crazy he's running that fast in December. I mean, that's obviously the track season down there. But still.
Yeah, he's just 16, so he's just doing like the normal school races. It's just like on, you know, a completely different calendar, but he's just doing them at a very different level to what you would normally see.
My God.
Yeah, unreal. He's so exciting to watch. Back to BU, the women's 3K was won by the Union Athletic Club rookie, Bailey. I always get her last name wrong. Hertenstein. Is that it, Joe?
I don't know. Could be.
I don't know. Just because I went to see you.
I don't know everyone's name, but.
Yeah, 8:45, which is cool. But the main reason I bring this up is because there was an interesting moment in her post-race interview where she, like, it seemed like she leaked that Yassine has joined UAC. And then immediately, like Jonathan Gold asked her, like, so who's your training partners? And she said, oh, it's just like, she's like, it's just Suguru and Yassine. And then he's like, wait, what was that name? He's like, Yassine Abdullah? Yeah.
Wait, is he still in college?
He goes to Arkansas.
Right.
And.
Where does she train?
Here, in Boulder.
Oh.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why it's confusing. And then I don't want to, like, I don't know what's going on here. I have no clue, really. So I don't want to, like, try and get, I don't know, like, how to explain this. But then immediately Jonathan Gold is interviewing Yassine, and he's like, so Bailey just told me that you're training with the Union Athletic Club. And then Yassine's like, I don't know what she's talking about. And then he said something about the Arkansas training. I don't know. It was just a funny moment that someone...
We'll have to see how it unfolds.
That is funny.
Has to get to the bottom of that, because it was just, what's going on there.
So Guru's been training in Boulder?
Yeah, I saw him at the track right by my house.
Yeah,
photo of him on the track, but
I think they train at Niwot quite a bit, and they go to. She said Bailey said they train at turf fields as well, but I don't know which ones that would be.
Hopefully, the ones by my house.
True, it probably is actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is crazy that group just moved to Boulder and doesn't have anyone really part of it yet, apart from those three or two
that we know of.
Yeah,
be cool once they get going.
Yeah, it'd be cool to have some other pro runners here. We'll see what happens, but yeah, the women's 5K. NCAA's was also an NCAA record. Doris getting it done, the XE champ, 14:52, which I think Parker had also run 14:52, so I think it was a very close
record. Yeah, that record didn't last long.
Yeah, but it was just like...
Is that a world standard or no?
Asking a good question.
I think it's around there.
It's right on... It's like... It's in the 50s, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Australian... Indoor short track record got broken by Amy Bunnage, I think her name is. The first time I ever saw her race was NCAAs, where she was like fifth or something? Fourth.
Yeah.
Very impressive. And then she went on to just run 15 flat. So it's
really good.
Shows, I mean, just across the board, we see BU 2 weeks after NCAAs, and you just see what form people have to be in these days.
Did you ever do a post NCAA race?
No, didn't really exist. It didn't exist.
It really did.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Like, you
very
guys
kind of.
We did one.
You kind of started, I feel like.
We kind of did. Actually, in my like freshman year, Footsim went to like.
Iowa State?
No, I want to say Indiana.
Indiana, okay.
That was like the meet that existed.
Indiana, you're right.
And he went and ran like 13:37 or something, which was bonkers back then. Yeah. Like, that was ridiculous. The week after NCAAs. And everyone was like, what? That counts? He qualifies to nationals?
Yeah,
like,
I was like, what are these people doing? Like, aren't you meant to be taking a break right now?
Yeah, because we always took, like, I'd go home after NCAAs and just take a week off.
And then we went to Montana State once, which was...
That sounds tough.
Miserable.
Wow.
Flat track. Flat track conversion and altitude conversion.
I remember that.
And T-Day ran...
That's like a minute.
T-Day ran amazing. Or 40. I think he ran 14:10 and it... converted to like 13:30 flat, I'm pretty sure.
Wow. That's silly.
How do you even convert that? Like,
I don't know, but that was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And
that's actually, you know, one
now it's BU.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, one thing with BU being BU is the conversions are, there's a lot less conversions now. I guess the BYU guys, didn't they run some crazy ones last year?
It's always in the mile.
Nico Young. See,
Nico Young.
340.
Yeah, like sorry. I feel like the mile is still.
I lied.
347.
But mainly in the mile, I think.
Yeah.
Because like CU, we'd always run the mile. NAU would have their dome mile. I feel like BYU would run.
Some of the good Wisconsin guys, like right before my time, would do it on our shitty track, 200 flat, and get the conversion.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was when you were trying to run 755. Like you were trying to get it converted to 755 so you could run 810 and qualify for nationals. It was
you
like
15 seconds.
That was maybe an exaggeration. Roughly, maybe 10. I think flat 200, maybe 10.
I know CU in the 3K, I think, is around 14.
Really?
12.
That's pretty
nice. I think I ran 801 and it was like 749.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't even know what the times this year are just going to, it's going to be like 740 for the 3K, which is.
Well, the crazy thing I looked at last year was all my college PRs wouldn't make indoor nationals in any event.
Yeah, same, I think, pretty much. I don't even know if I ran 742, I think, my last year. That's like,
I think you
might
be,
not qualify this year.
Yeah, I was 48, so I was not even close.
Not even close.
1330, I think.
Well, it was like, I was talking to someone, and they were talking about some kid went and ran a 754 at BU. And I was just like thinking, I was like, that just means, like, unfortunately, not to be mean, like, right now, that just means that's just not that impressive.
Yeah.
But literally, I think my freshman year, like, my first year I did indoors, I think it was 753 was the qualifying time.
Yeah. I remember my freshman year, I ran 759. And I was like, oh, if I have, like, a good race, next time, like, maybe I can get close to qualifying. And then I ran, like, 805 or something. But
7 something just sounded good.
Oh, it was crazy. I was like, holy cow. Yeah.
They used to go, it used to be Iowa State.
Iowa State, yeah. Iowa State, I raced foots in there one year in the 3K.
And Andy, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe that was the next year.
That was
year.
A separate one. Yeah.
You could run 750, and that was freaking insane.
Yeah.
It was. But, yeah, we'll see how now. I guess now everyone gets to take a break, and then everyone will come back through January. And that's when the real indoor season will kick off. That's when some of our team will start racing indoors. And, these college kids are just scary, though, man. I guess Nico and a bunch of the rest of them were scary last year as well. I guess the top ones are always pretty scary how good they are. But, yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how things progress. And the one benefit for us with Graham Blanks going pro means that he'll probably be lining up in the 10K with us in March. So, I mean, when you're trying to run 27 minutes, as many people as you can trying to do the same thing and in similar shape makes actually like a difference, makes it better. So I'm excited for hopefully that to go down, even though I have no idea if that'll actually happen or not.
I hope it. Last year was a sweet one with like a bunch of people racing to run 26:50 something as opposed to 26:30 record attempt.
Yeah.
Which was also crazy, but.
Yeah. I don't know if that'll happen again for a while. Yeah. I think you almost need like, You know, when he ran 26, when Grant and Mo ran low 26:30s, I think Woody paced them to 8 or 9K.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? Like, if our team would be the team to maybe try and do that, and for us, that's
his. Yeah, getting like another world-class runner crazy. Who could, you know, almost run it themselves to pace it.
Yeah.
But also you wonder too, like, is that even necessary to compete on the world stage? Like,
you don't need to do it. It'd just be cool to
I mean,
do.
Like, obviously,
apparently it's not.
Mo and Grant ran that, and now they're like medalists and all, and they were medalists, but
they medaled the year they didn't run.
Yeah, like, look at Graham Blanks was in the world final in the 5K, and he hadn't broken 13, so it's like,
it's true.
Yeah.
It's not necessary. I mean, even if you take it a step back, like, I was always found it crazy that Mo Farah never tried to run fast.
Yeah, or even, I mean, Galen ran 26:40 some, but
kind of went for it.
But yeah. But in the 5K, I think he only ran 12:57.
Yeah.
Like
something.
You would think he would run. Yeah, you would think he'd run way faster.
Compared to what, there's people run now. It's like, it is weird to look at.
Only 7:30 for 3K, too, indoor. Like, now college kids are doing that.
Is that what his 3K time is?
Yeah. It was the American record, I think, before Yard broke it. Yeah, 7:30. And I think Ethan and Parker's times are faster than what his was.
I only just put that together that they were 2 seconds off the American record.
Yeah.
Or less than 2 seconds, maybe.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
American indoor, because outdoor Grant ran
like 25.
25, yeah.
still.
That's wild.
Unreal. So moving on to some slightly random news. Morgan Pearson won his was it a half Ironman?
Half Ironman, yeah. In Indian Wells. California somewhere. Palm Springs.
Yeah. Did how was
tune up. A little tune up for Houston.
Matt Max second. His run was you ran 70 minutes for the half.
Yeah.
But
quote on Instagram, shut it down to get ready for Houston.
Did he say that? Yeah, he told me though going in, like the course was like on like golf course cart paths. Like it wasn't a good fast course. So he was like, if I can run like 5:10 pace, I'm gonna be like flying.
Yeah.
Like he was about 2 minutes faster than anyone else.
Yeah. I know he put like 2 minutes on Matt, who quote, hasn't been running that much.
But both of them on Instagram.
But that was a sweet race, like just to see those guys go 1-2. That was like cool to see because Morgan Pearson's been doing a lot of training with us just on hopping in Sunday workouts.
Mm-hmm. Now he can fully focus.
Yeah.
I actually was like on the weekend, I was like, where's Morgan Pearson?
Yeah.
Makes sense now.
He wanted to be there for sure.
Yeah.
Probably would have rather been at the workout.
Yeah.
Was that a big race that he did?
So I was trying to like get a sense of how big it was. And I think it's like big because it's in the Ironman series, but I don't know like how many really top guys show up. Yeah. I went on the website of Ironman and there's like 100 Ironman races. So I was like,
I want to say it's not because Ironman, half Ironman world champs is literally this weekend.
That's what Morgan's, he said was.
In New Zealand.
Yeah, it's not as big because the world champs.
So,
but this qualifies him, I think, for the world champs next year. So he has that option to run it now.
Cool.
That makes sense.
Or swim bike run.
Very cool. And another massive race that, I mean, not that we really paid that much attention to this, but NXN was this weekend as well. Dathan was out there cheering on his daughter, Addie, who I think ended up fifth.
Fifth.
Was just crazy racing out there. It was, everyone in high school is also just like similar how the college kids are all too good. These high schools are all clearly way too good now because the girl who won, and I'm not going to know anyone's names, apologies. She won by 40 seconds and just beast mode.
And I saw maybe broke Caitlin Tui's record.
She broke the record.
So like that's pretty legit. Yeah, that's legit.
And it was like pouring rain and mud.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah. And then also on the men's side, team.
Niwot
brought it home.
Yeah, which I we didn't really pay attention. So
I don't know anyone on their team, but we're honored to use their track. Yeah. Yeah. Honored to share the track with them.
I looked at the video of them after the race. Like it came up on like, I don't know, YouTube or something. And I just saw it. And they all look like carbon copies of each other. I was very impressed at how similar they all just look like little distance runner boys. I'm like, good job, guys. Well done. Thank you for having a nice track that we can use.
Yeah.
But it is a
historic. What was your best NXN finish?
I honestly was going to look. I think it was slower than what the top woman ran.
No. She ran 16:30. No.
I didn't break 16. So. Yeah. I was like 60th maybe.
Yeah.
But.
Well, yeah, actually.
It worked out.
The men's winning time was only 15:30. So it's a tough course, right?
That's crazy. 15:30? Yeah. It's like kind of, that's close. Like the men's and the women's. Like
yeah,
1 minute.
I think it was, unless I'm mistaken. I think it's 15:30 and 16:30. So,
I know Carlos beat me there. He always had that over me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only asked that to just if anyone's listening and didn't win NXN.
Yeah. Well, no, and who was right around me? I think Tyler Day was like right around me, mm-hmm. which was always funny when we got to college. Was like, you know, we're obviously doing very well, and then we were like 60th at NXN. He might have been higher than that. I might be just totally slandering him, but he didn't win.
does Foot Locker still exist?
It's a good question.
I believe it does.
We'll find out this next weekend probably or something.
Yeah.
And we'll surprise, surprise, that girl's going to BYU. So they're just going to get...
Oh, yeah.
It just seems like NXN is the only one I hear about these days.
Yeah, they've definitely kind of done a good job at... I mean, the model that they have with the team...
It's the team aspect is so huge.
It's cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I think it's time to do a bit more of a deep dive on Joe. Everything Joe. First thing written down on the notes is a pizza update. You made a return. Oh, is this true?
Yeah. So I'd been away from pizza for a while, just struggling to really get back into it. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Tom Wang, you know, he really pep-talked me.
He pushed you.
He pushed me back into it. And I made some pizza the other day, and I swear it was like the best pizza I've ever made. And Tom Wang also got a pizza oven, so I told him I'm going to mail him some dough. Mm-hmm. So,
do you use Double Zero?
Yeah, yeah. Caputo.
Caputo. Where do you get your flour from?
I get it on Amazon, but I think it's from Italy. Yeah.
Probably sounds like
it. I've tried like multiple flours, and that one's the best. And all these pizza people, they'll comment on my posts, and they'll say, oh, good job using Caputo.
Yeah.
So
it's known.
Yeah, it's known. Nice. Yes.
Is it expensive or is it?
No, it's not expensive.
Yeah.
Just the, you know, you can't get it at like Whole Foods, I don't think, and stuff. But
yeah, it's too special for that.
Yeah.
But onto the running. So last year, you raced the 10K and then unfortunately came down with an injury that sidelined you for the bulk of the track season. And you had to take a bit of time away. And then I guess the upside of that was that it allowed you to have a really nice, like, long, gradual build up. And during that time, I'm not sure exactly when this decision was made, but you obviously started looking at doing the roads and you put Houston on the schedule. Someone asked me like why I was doing Houston. And then I said, oh, because Joe's doing it. And then I wasn't sure did you want to do Houston first or did Dathan want you to do Houston?
I kind of wanted to do a half. And like, I was thinking Valencia just because it's such a fast race. And at the time, if it was in like the spring or in June, you know, like I obviously wasn't going to go for the Olympics. So I wanted to like have something in the distance I could like look forward to and build towards that wasn't like too soon. Like be like, oh, we're going to race in August or something. But Valencia felt like doable. But Dathan was like, no, it's like too soon. So I'm like, how do you like even know that's too soon? It's like 5 months away or something. But then he was like, yeah, we should do Houston. Just easier travel. And like you could go for the win there. Valencia, obviously, like, don't think I was going to be ready to run with Yomif this year. So I mean, then that's how we decided on Houston. It was kind of like I wanted a good half marathon and there's not too many options in the US like for fast ones. So
yeah.
Was putting something on the schedule, like, do you think that's been important for like what has been like a stretch of not racing and obviously not being able to go to the US trials and like go for another Olympic team, and like even just like mentally to get through those few months, like really having something to look forward to?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing is it just gave like that whole time structure. Like when you just said I hadn't raced since March or whenever the 10 was, it's like, wow, that's crazy. Because to me, it's felt like, okay, I had my period of like, you know, off time of running, getting healthy, getting my legs under me. And then it was like just this progression of like, okay, now we need to like build up our mileage. Now we need to like get our long run back up to 20 miles. So it's been all these like milestones along the way that have like been building towards really the training we're doing now. That's kind of the final stretch into Houston half. So it's crazy to think I haven't raced since March, but yeah, having that like on the schedule, I think helped just give structure to what we were doing because it was such a long period of time where if you're just building up, you're like, what are we building towards? What's the goal here? And having Houston on the schedule was nice because it's like, okay, like I can't quite do the speed work yet, but we can really work on like building my strength and like the speed work slowly going to come along as like my injury gets better and better. That's how I'd say it helped the most. I think for me with nothing on the schedule, it just would have been easy to want to like push it just to be like, okay, like let's get back with the guys. And it's like, well, it doesn't really make sense. Like I have a half marathon. Let's just get really strong and focus on that.
Yeah. And it resulted in a very beautiful Strava graph.
Yeah, it's been nice.
You're a nice little, it's just a beautiful slope just of consistent, nice training, yeah, which we love to see. Do you think it's crazy that the half marathon record for the US is what it is and hasn't been broken since Super Shoes?
Yeah, I think it is a bit wild that, I mean, it stood for so long. And that record, when it was set, I'm sure it was just out of this world. And 59:43 is still, like, so fast. So it makes sense that it's, like, stood for as long as it has. But, yeah, certainly since Super Shoes, you would have thought, like, with a lot of the good, like, 10K runners we have in the U.S. right now and the good marathoners that we have in the U.S., like, two guys in the top 10 at the Olympics, you think someone would go and get it?
Did Galen Rupp never try and run it? Quick half?
Or Galen. Yeah. Like guys who have, Galen was a medalist in the marathon and like a medalist in the 10K. You like connect the dots and it's like, come on.
But I want to say he didn't have a go.
Like at a fast one.
I know Dathan ran 60 flat, but it was at a non-eligible, like Great North run.
Yeah. And, yep.
But or Houston, even world champs, he ran 60 flat too, right. I think.
Yeah. But like Houston's always been fast. You think like 1 year, you'd be like, I'm not going to do indoor. I'm just going to go run a fast half.
Yeah. What year, do you know what year the record is from?
I don't, but I think it's over 20. I think it's around like maybe right at 20 years or something.
Oh,
early 2000s.
It wouldn't be that quite that long. Well, it's Ryan Hall, right?
Yeah.
And he was in college.
Oh, he was with Dathan. So he definitely didn't set it when he was 20 years old. Yeah. Dathan's like 40.
Yeah.
So maybe like closer to 15, 10. But either way, like well pre-Super Shoes.
Yeah, well, which is crazy to think about as well.
Yeah.
Like he must have been. I wonder what the world record was back then. I bet you the world record was like 59 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Like he was probably way closer to the world record. But
it's true.
Yeah, you would think that in the half marathon, the Super Shoes are making a pretty big difference.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing the times in every, like, Australian records now under 60, and, like, all these records are going down.
Yeah.
2007.
2007, okay, so that is
15. Coming up on 18, 20.
Coming up on 20, yeah.
Yeah. Man, he was a beast at the roads real quick after college.
The shoes he was running in, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't even want to run 13 miles in those shoes. Like,
his feet and calves must have been beasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Houston was where the record was set, and that is where Joe and I will be competing in January. And it does look like we don't know the full, we often talk about it. We don't know like the full field or anything like that. However, we do know a couple of the big names, and probably the main one is Connor Mance from the American perspective.
Yeah.
It's pretty sick having him in the race.
Yeah. Do you think he heard that? Was it literally that he heard that you guys were going for it? So well, he was like, didn't want to miss out.
Yeah. From what I heard, he heard like that we might be like trying to target the record. And I think, yeah, just didn't want to miss out. But I'm still not like, from what I get, I'm not 100% if he's racing. I think, I mean, he just ran a marathon, so he probably wants to see how his body comes off it.
Yeah.
But
how's his Strava been looking?
Pretty good. I mean, like always. So he's probably fine. But yeah, I think that, you know, doesn't want to get in over his head if he's not ready. But
yeah, I feel like the half marathon is another event where having the competition there. I mean, maybe when you're on the road some days and you're feeling good, you can just take off and like run really quick solo. Yeah, but I think probably for your first time, running in a pack will feel a lot more comfortable.
In a pack of like guys who I would say are all like on the roads, like you haven't run a half, I haven't run a half. Mm-hmm. Connor's run a few, but definitely never targeted maybe this time.
Yeah.
So we're all a little bit like, don't know how we're going to feel, but we all want to like push it because we're like.
Will there be a pacer?
Yeah. Apparently they're going to pace it at 59:40 is what I heard.
Yeah.
So.
It's pretty quick.
Yeah. Hopefully we can just.
Just send it.
Yeah, just send it and feel good.
I would, even if like, I mean, I'm not putting like a time goal on it, but I feel like I would want to go out with the pace pack, like the front pack. Even if I'm not sure I'm capable of it, I'd just rather than running my own.
Yeah, well, even when I talked to Dathan about it, his goal for the race, like I think it's more me wanting to like see if I can go after that record. For him, he's like, if we just go in there and try and win the race, like it's going to be a good time.
It's a good mentality.
I don't think he's as like concerned about like, all right, we need to go for this record. Like, I don't think he really cares.
Well, also you'll probably have many half marathons ahead of you as well.
But I just think that if they set up the race in a way that it's going to take 59 something to win,
it's a good chance.
It'd just be a really fun race.
Yeah. And speaking of the training specifically, it has been interesting for you because you did have a period of time where you linked up with Helen for a bit and you had Keita here to help out as well. But how have you felt like this fall training has been different from others, and have you liked it more?
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest differences, the build up has been so slow. Like, you know, it was like 90 miles or like 70 miles, 73, 76, just really slow increase, which felt like at the time unnecessary. But like looking back, it's like, wow, that's really set like a foundation for just being super healthy. And then, yeah, when I got to start linking up with Helen and Keita, Helen was obviously getting ready for New York when I was training with her. And so that was cool just to like,
she was pretty fit.
She was pretty fit. And like, so you had to be on your game to like train with her. So I really liked that. It was nice just like after being away from it for so long, workouts, like it was like 5 months of like no workouts or maybe not that quite much, but it was a lot. And so to have like a little training group was kind of fun, like with Keita and Helen. Pushing her to hope, you know, go for the win in New York, and she did very well. Gave it a lot of meaning too, versus just like, oh, nice, I'm training with Helen and Keita. It's like we're all training towards like certain goals. Yeah. So that made it really fun. But no, overall, the training's been like really nice. Just the thing I've liked most is the slow increase, just since basically August to where we are now running. I think we both just hit our biggest weeks of our lives.
Yeah, probably. What was yours? Like 115?
113, I think.
13. Yeah. I mean, the training is really not... It's the same training we do every year in the fall. It's just like some slight adjustments, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like,
I would say...
And the adjustments is extra?
Extra. Well, generally it's more.
It's a, yeah, generally more, but a progression.
Because it's like, okay, the Fartleks, I think, that we have always done are actually the best workout, like specific. I think they're the best workout for like a half marathon, honestly. I think that the just how hard they are is, and like, I don't know. If you were to get a similar difficulty on the track, you'd be doing such a big track workout that it wouldn't almost be worth it.
Yeah, it'd be
And running threshold just doesn't seem like it gets you close enough to that.
Yeah.
And then that pace. That's the difference in the threshold. Like, we've added more volume to our threshold workouts, but like, we're still not even, like, we're still doing the same volume that like Mike Smith's guys do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, like, we'll do like 12 miles where for me and you in the past, 8, maybe 10 miles. So like, that's an increase.
But like, even if we weren't doing a half and you were looking for progression, you probably would have wanted to progress up to 12 to miles 12, yeah. of threshold work anyway, if you were just a good, like, just focusing on the track even.
And then one of the other differences now, like, we're doing a lot of the same fartleks we'd normally do. And instead of just trying to like push them harder than in years past and run faster, Dathan's added tempos onto the end of them. So like, we'll do a 50-minute fartlek with the whole team, which is amazing because we're all trained together. But then Morgan and I are lucky enough to add on, like, maybe it's 1 times 20 minutes or 2 times 10 minutes tempo.
It's been fun.
So it just makes it a long morning, but like, just a nice progression.
Our long runs, one thing that we've done this every year, but specifically this year, every second week for our long runs has been the uphill, the canyon climb that we do. And I think everyone on the team really likes that one. So the fact that we're doing more of it, we've enjoyed as well. But that's not even specific to us. I think that's just for the team in general.
Yeah. I think that's been the best too, with just being like healthy. Like, you're just, it's so different. You're just like strengthening your legs and just getting so strong without having to like, again, go on the track and just run really hard.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, the less impact in the last 6 miles makes such a difference on your legs.
Yeah.
Like, you can push hard and feel way, like, just, like, safer.
Yeah, because usually those, like, the first, like, maybe 10 miles will be, like, kind of just zone two. And then the last, like, normal. 8 to 10 is really, like, a low threshold. Like, so.
Depending who you are. A high threshold something.
Yeah, depending.
You can, there's no limit to how hard you can push that if you want to.
You can push it pretty hard.
But it's a way that, again, that I think we're getting in more threshold work that's not necessarily like...
It's not as taxing on the body.
Not as taxing, and we're not like saying, okay, this is a threshold session. It's like, we're just doing our long run up the hill.
Yeah, and it feels good.
A lot of different ways to work that system too. Yeah. Like, what is it up the canyon? Maybe 5-somethings.
540.
Just under 6. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is maybe like...
And my watch says great adjusted pace for that is like around 5 minutes, which is like...
Yeah. So you can either do like flat miles down the bottom or run up the canyon. And that's actually maybe like targeting a very similar system.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool thing. We're very lucky to have a canyon to run up. Yeah. Kai was like... Like, I think Dathan changed it to a steady long run, but initially he thought that he was going to have to do like a hill climb long run in Australia. And he was like, there's no hills there. There's no mountains. What am I going
to
do?
Yeah. It is crazy to think that we're not even like scratching the surface on that hill. Like, like when we're biking, you could just climb for like 20 miles uphill.
We're not even halfway up that hill.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Yeah. I don't think the human body would let you run up that much further.
Oh, apparently, I think I was talking to Paul Stafford, a CU runner, former runner, and he was doing the hill climbs, and I don't know if he like misinterpreted what I was saying, but I think he starts...
At the bottom?
At the bottom of the canyon and does like 17 miles up, but he just ran an amazing like 15K race in Netherlands. Like, he's obviously working.
It works.
Maybe we should be doing that.
Yeah.
For those at home, we only do like the last 3 to 6 miles generally of our run actually up the canyon. The rest of it is still a hilly long run, but it's on the more flat part.
Yeah.
So it's a bit more controlled. But yeah.
And then, I was trying to think of a hill I have at home. Actually, it's not even the... I think I think of a hill. It's the getting someone to pick me up.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a logistical challenge. But then, so we have Houston on the schedule, mid-January. Do you know what you'll be doing for the rest of the year?
Yeah. Not the whole year, but I'm trying to convince Dathan. I know maybe you're similar. If the body feels good, just hop into BU 5K because it's fun. But I'm not like planning on it. It's just like if I feel good and I want to do it, I'm going to do it. And then early March is the U.S. Half Marathon Championship, which I wasn't originally going to do, but I found out that that's the selection event for the World Road Running Championship. And so if you get top three there, you get selected. And I want to just have that as an option to do. So I'm going to go run that. I think it's in Atlanta. Don't know anything about the course. I'm assuming it's not fast like Houston, but I'll do that in early March.
It's probably pretty tough if it's in Atlanta. Isn't that where the
trials were?
Peachtree? Yeah, yeah. The trials was very tough.
Yeah, and the trials.
Wait, Peachtree, is that Atlanta too?
I thought that was the big 10K in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And they're known to be like hard races.
Yeah. So probably will be like a hard race, but it should be fun. And hopefully a lot of the top US guys come out for that and want to make that team because the Worlds are in San Diego this year. So yeah, it's a very sick. Easy. I know Morgan had a great experience at World Road Running. So
is it? I think more than three people can you do the
fourth. Half? Oh, so apparently, four? I think the fourth one is like maybe discretionary or chosen off ranking or something.
Oh, okay. That makes
sense. I just think it'd be fun to like go qualify. I mean, in that time of year, I'm not doing much anyway. And so, yeah, I'll do that. And then Sound Running is, I think, 4 weeks later. So I think kind of like we were saying with the cross-country training being amazing for the track, kind of half marathon training
for the 10K.
For the 10K and 5K should be good. And then after that, I'll go into like track season, outdoor.
Nice. Nice. It's very exciting.
That's a nice build-up right there.
It's like one race a month too. It's like kind of nice.
Yeah, I think it's like easy to... When you're not doing a full indoor season, it takes a lot of the pressure off. You know what I mean? Like if you're trying to do, let's say hypothetically, you're trying to do world indoors this year, then you have to stress about running really quick 3K in January or February, I guess latest, and then you want to do like Milrose, like all this. You just kind of come back after the Christmas time, and you're like, all right, shit, it's time to go.
Yeah, that's how I felt last year. Was like, we got back from Christmas, and then it was just like, all right, BU in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
like
we were racing in January, Milrose, trying to break like, 13.
It was like, like Milrose is right when I kind of started getting injured, and it was like, yeah, I definitely shouldn't have done that race, but you're just in the thick of it, and you're feeling like, okay, this was the plan. Like, we got to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. We keep doing that early BU. Maybe we need to do that. We even need to do the next one.
Do the late one.
Yeah.
I think I like that a bit more. But yeah, this plan, I think, will be a much more just... Yeah, just a nice more, like a gradual way to move through those months and bridge the gap between the training that we're doing now and a track season in spring. Yeah. So that's how I'm looking at it as well.
Yeah.
Similar.
Yeah, whether Houston goes how we plan or not, I'm like, this training block has been amazing and we've definitely made a lot of progress there. So
yeah,
the race is just is what it is.
It is what it is.
It's been and it'll be such a long time to build up for outdoor USAs too.
Mm-hmm.
Off the back of either a couple half marathons and a 10K. But USAs aren't till.
Yeah, how late is it? It's in August.
I think it's in August, yeah.
That must be the first time it's ever been in August, right?
I wonder when Worlds were in Doha.
Maybe Doha.
It's probably also pretty late, but it might have been July, like end of July. I'm not sure.
I feel like it was still, kind of early. When it was in Doha, it was so weird because, I think it was not... Now it's normal that it's going to be late, but that was like the first time I've been late in so long. And I got to race 5th Ave, and it was like a month before. I wonder if are they going to start doing that now? They might have to.
Probably.
Because don't change their date.
Yeah. It means pre is also like 2 months later. So pre is in like July instead of May.
Wow.
Isn't it so cool that the calendars for like the Diamond League is like so much more consistent now, kind of? Like it's just like... throughout the year rather than having like this big gap like for all the national championships
and
they squeeze it in on either side like around
and like depending when your nationals are it's like oh I can't do this one can't do this one can't do this one that was always annoying with US and trials.
It's gonna be cool to have the Diamond League final before the world champs as well.
I think it'll be interesting to show like I think people will still show out at the Diamond League final and then go to Worlds and still do amazing. You know?
Yeah, as they should.
Yeah.
As opposed to how it has been in previous years where people don't show up.
Yeah.
So that'll be sick. It'll be very cool. Well, I think we've had a lovely chat. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners out there?
No, just looking forward to 25.
How you feeling about the Vikings the Viking season so far?
Man, surprised. Like, it's been a good year. I expect nothing every week, and I'm happy most weeks. So
that's so wise.
Yeah.
Did you see the White Chick celebration that they did?
Yeah, dude, their celebrations have been great.
Let me crush
been
it.
Pretty funny. Across the whole NFL, though, they've been very fun to watch.
Amazing, amazing. Well, Joe, thank you so much for coming on today once again.
Yep. Number 6, 7, 5, one of those.
And can't wait for the next one.
Yeah. Next quarter.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. This has been episode 164 of the Coffee Club podcast, and we look forward to seeing you all again next week.
Boys, see you. Coffee Club.